The Italian Wine Podcast is the community-driven platform for Italian wine geeks around the world. Support the show by donating at italianwinepodcast.com. Donate 5 or more euros and we'll send you a copy of our latest book, My Italian Grape Geek Journal. Absolutely free. To get your free copy of My Italian Grape Geek Journal, click support us at italianwinepodcast.com or wherever you get your pods. Grazie mille. Welcome to the Italian Grape Geek Podcast. Join us as we explore personal stories of travel and tasting with Italy's must-know grape varietals. Chart your own course with My Italian Grape Geek Journal, your personal tasting companion to accompany the series. Available now on Amazon. With thanks to Colangelo and Partners for their generous support with this project.
Hello again, Cynthia Chaplin here, back to talk to you about Fresa. Fresa is the second grape I'll be talking about. Fresa is from Piemonte, and its name comes from the old Latin word fresia, which means strawberry. In the case of this grape, the name is quite apt, since Fresa grapes produce wines with very pronounced strawberry aromas and flavors. Fresa has an interesting background, too. It's an offspring of Nebbiolo, the grape used for Barolo and Barbaresco. Historically, Fresa was very popular because it's easy to grow, very productive, and disease-resistant. It fell out of favor with growers as the popularity of Barolo wines increased, and growers chose to replant Fresa vineyards with Nebbiolo. As the value of native grapes became more recognized, growers have begun returning to planting Fresa. The best sites for the grape are near Chieri, where the vineyards have sandy soil. Fresa is a late-ripening grape, so it needs a longer growing season to fully mature, and it's usually not harvested until October. I love the wines Fresa makes because they have similar characteristics to Nebbiolo wines, but a lightness and brightness all their own. The wines are pale ruby with a light body and those lovely scents of strawberry, as we said. But the best versions can have aromas from rose and tobacco and violets as well. Like Nebbiolo, Fresa is fairly tannic with high acidity, but the flavors on the palate tend more towards fresh, crunchy strawberries and sour cherries. If the tannins are not fully ripe, the wines can be on the bitter side, but when they're fully ripe, Fresa can produce wines that are worthy of some aging. Most of the wine is still, but there is a frizzante, or a fizzy, style produced, which uses carbon dioxide to neutralize the tannins on the palate. Some versions are also slightly off-dry, using a small amount of residual sugar to balance the tannins and the acidity, but in general, temperature control and skillful use of oak has helped create Fresa wines with more restrained tannins and acidity. It's worth looking out for Fresa wines due to their flexibility and freshness, showing characteristics we've come to expect from Nebbiolo, but in a less complex, more accessible, and affordable format. Some great Fresa wines to try come from Vieti, Cascina Gigli, Stella, and La Montagnetto. Due to the good acidic spine, the tannic structure, and the fresh fruit flavors, Fresa is very adaptable to lots of dishes. Obvious choices are lasagna or baked meatballs, but Fresa is also a good match for cheese fondue, slow roasted chicken, and eggplant parmesan. Are you enjoying this podcast? Don't forget to visit our YouTube channel, Mama Jumbo Shrimp, for fascinating videos covering Stevie Kim and her travels across Italy and beyond, meeting winemakers, eating local food, and taking in the scenery. Now back to the show. Hello again, Cynthia Chaplin here, back again to talk to you about Mamalo. Mamalo is the fourth grape I'll be talking about. This grape gets its name from the Italian word mamola, which is the word for wild violets found in Tuscany and their violet color. As you probably already guessed, Mamalo is a lovely blue-purple grape and it grows in Tuscany. Most often, Mamalo is a great blending partner for Sangiovese, especially in the Vino Nobile di Montepulciano blends. It's a very ancient variety, well established in Tuscany, and we can tell it's been here for a very long time because it has many different biotypes, which are almost never separated in the vineyards. I'm always so interested in these old grapes, especially the ones that are used in blends and don't really ever get to be center stage. So I look for them when I'm traveling or tasting at events, and even just perusing the shelves of wine stores all over Italy. Mamalo is also interesting to the history of Tuscan vines, since it is probably related to both Ciliegiolo and Sangiovese. I've tried Vino Nobile di Montepulciano wines that have Mamalo in the blend, and it definitely gives a floral note of violets to the wine. But I had the chance to try a 100% Mamalo wine from Villa Calcinai not long ago at a bio-organic wine fair. It was a pretty pale ruby color with a very floral nose, absolutely full of violets, and I caught purple wisteria in there too. Very light-bodied, it was almost like a very grown-up kind of rosé, with lovely notes of black cherry and raspberry. The high acidity and low tannin make it a perfect summer red. It could even be served chilled. For me, it was a very flexible wine in terms of pairing. It could easily go with seafood like mussels, and even sushi or salmon sashimi. Probably delicious with a good cheeseburger, and obviously perfect with the wonderful salumi from Tuscany. Unfortunately, I'm not sure this wine is available outside of Italy, so I'd recommend looking for Vino Nobile di Montepulciano wines, like those from Macelleria Desideri, which are up to 15% Mamolo in the blend. Hello again, Cynthia Chaplin here, back again to talk to you about Lagrein. Lagrein is the third grape I'll be talking about. It is one of the most important red grapes in Trentino and Alto Adige in the far northeast of Italy. Lagrein most likely got its name from the place it originated, the Vallagarina in Trentino, where there are records of the grape going all the way back to the 1500s. Lagrein needs a long, warm season to ripen fully, which makes the area around Bolzano in Trentino perfect for this grape. Bolzano has a special microclimate that often makes it hotter than Palermo in Sicily during summer months. When fully ripe, Lagrein has tannins and structure that are very similar to Cabernet Sauvignon. The wines are deep ruby with a purple hue, and they offer a full body with aromas and flavors of violets, plums, wild red and black berries, cassis, and sweet baking spices like nutmeg and clove. I met my first Lagrein 10 years ago at a tasting with a small producer called Peter Edgerammer. His wine, Cristan, wowed me with its intense flavor and gorgeous, well-integrated tannins that were helped along by 10 months of aging in a combination of large oak and barrique. The story of Peter's grandmother, for who the wine was named, working in the cellar, was just as heartwarming as the wine. I also love the rosé version of Lagrein, which is called Kretzer, or Dunkel, in Trentino Alto Adige. It has a medium body, a tannic grip on the palate, good acidity, and a very seductive fruity nose. Lagrein became one of the wines I really love to teach and present, not only because everyone falls in love with the wines, but also because the grape has an interesting heritage. It's directly related to Teraldego and probably Marzimino, Schiava Gentile, and Pinot Nero as well. Lagrein has a following outside of Italy too, and producers like Cantina Rotaliana and Poyer and Sandi export it all over the world. Definitely worth looking for in good wine shops. Because of the power Lagrein puts into the wines it makes, I would suggest pairing it with hearty dishes like ossobuco, speck, beef or game stews, polenta with sautéed mushrooms, or pasta carbonara. It also goes very nicely with a good aged cheese.
Listen to the Italian Wine Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Himalaya FM, and more. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the show. If you enjoy listening, please consider donating through italianwinepodcast.com. Any amount helps cover equipment, production, and publication costs. Until next time, cin cin.